Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday at 6 p.m. And that was pretty slow. I don't know where that came from. It was titled The Sunday Show, so I tried it. That's fantastic. We're going to open up today with with something from the Borowitz Report in Minneapolis. According to a new poll they've done at the University of Minnesota's Opinion Research Institute, millions have been vexed for some time by their failure to explain incredibly basic information to adults. That frustration is now reaching a breaking point, which, you know, yeah, I'd say so. It of the many obvious things that people are sick and tired of trying to get through the skulls of stupid people, the fact
that
climate change will cause catastrophic habitat destruction and devastating extinction tops the list, with a majority saying they will no longer bother trying to explain this to cretins.
That's the one you're preaching to the choir on me.
Coming in a close second, statistical proof that gun control has reduced gun deaths in countries around the world is something that significant number of those polled have given up attempting to break down for morons, like Bobby Jindal. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
You know, tap dancing his way away from the question on the tragedy of his constituency. I mean, the guy is a piece of shit.
You named it, Gwen, perfectly.
Just one more thing here. Finally, a majority said that trying to make idiots understand why a flag that symbolizes bigotry and hatred has no business flying over a state capital only makes the person attempting to explain this want to put his or her fist through a wall. millions of Americans are feeling like this. And I got to add something of my own to that, and I've said it probably a bunch of times now, but I saw it again today on CNN when it was the AG from Virginia, I believe, was on a roundtable, and he kept saying that, you know, who's beeping?
Go ahead.
He kept saying that, you know, it's insulting to white America. And when he says white America, he's including all of us in there without permission. He's saying that it's insulting to white America that the hashtag is Black Lives Matter. And it should be that all lives matter. And he just doesn't get it. And the people who just don't get it are so frustrating and so don't get it. And you know what I'm figuring out? These are folks that really don't understand equality for all. Really,
right.
They don't.
You know, it was very interesting. This past Friday, Amy Goodman on her daily show, Democracy Now!, had the three co-founders of Black Lives Matter on there, and they did a very good job of explaining exactly what they're about, and it helped me understand it a lot more, and it helped me understand even how they could be offended by the term that all lives matter, because it like kind of basically it glosses over or ignores the horrible happenings that the blacks have been exposed to, you know, over the past many years, but especially in recent times. So it was a very good show that I'd recommend everybody go to democracynow.org and look at their past archives and look for that Friday show. It's very, very enlightening and very, very good. And the three ladies were very articulate, wonderful representatives of a wonderful, of a great movement that needs to have a lot more attention paid to it.
And
very good, Jack.
There's another glitch out there that's really picking up a lot of buzz today. That's Mike Huckabee's play for attention this week. He's basically saying that Obama's marching Israelis to the door of the oven. And you know, you've got to remember too that it's going to get feedback, and it did already from the head of the Democrat Party.
Democratic.
Okay, I never know anymore. Who cares? But
rednecks say Democrat. You should know that, Gwen. Rednecks say Democrat.
Well, you know, basically, I've always considered myself, I think, way too liberal to be even Democrat. But here's the thing.
That's fine.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz came out and said, and I think she's correct on this, Huckabee owes the American people and especially the Jewish community a large apology for making that metaphor up.
Right.
For insinuating that Obama is pulling some kind of Nazi grand solution and saying it about the Israelis, which their government, not the Israeli people, mind you, but their government at this point, is got a living apartheid going on over there on
right.
Palestinians. And a lot of people would say they're performing their own kind of grand solution over there. Okay, I said it.
Yeah, final solution, if you will. Yep. Very true. I mean, it's disgusting what's going on over there. They're forcibly making people leave their own territory, their own homes, and then they're bulldozing them and taking them over and building new settlements for incoming Jewish settlers that they've invited there. To deliberately displace these other people that have been living there for centuries. I mean, it is disgusting, man. It's you can't defend that. It's horrible.
Well, gentlemen, we actually have a caller now. I don't know if this is somebody's just listening in, but I'm going to open the mic and invite
welcome
him.
Aboard.
Very great. Very good.
Area code 407. Caller, are you there?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. Who are we speaking with?
This is Ed.
Oh, Ed. Glad to have you. What can we do for you?
Oh, I was just listening to you talking about. What do you think of the Iranian deal? You think it's a good deal?
It's not perfect, Glenn, but it could be better. But it's the best we can do right now, I think.
All right. Well,
yeah. With that people, it's kind of like is it even worth dealing with them? It's like,
right. Well, I was going to say, and let me interject here a little bit. And I'm sure, I don't know how you are, but, I'm up in the age where I can remember well when we were speaking with the Russians, we were constantly playing chess matches across the world, trying to get a reduction in arms through Carter and before that Nixon and, of course, Johnson and Kennedy. Kennedy had Khrushchev over here. We were opening up doors of dialogue.
Right.
We were trying to make some agreements. And there were some agreements that we kind of knew that in arms limitations that they weren't, adhering to and stuff like that. But we still had the lines of the communication, and we were able to call them out on it. And then I'm going to fast forward here now. So when things really collapsed during the Reagan administration, we had the lines of communication that said, look, we are not a threat to you. We will help you out. We're going to try to get you back on your feet. But let's also, trust but verify. It was Reagan's statement.
Yeah, that was
and,
it. Trust and
right.
verify.
And, as time,
reduction.
Basically, and that took decades to get to that point where they said, okay. And I'm going to tell you right now, in the 50s, the United States, via the CIA, because they had democratically elected a communist government, aligning yourself more with Russia. And of course, that was a big faux pas during the McCarthy years, that basically we overthrew that duly elected communist government and reinstalled the Shah, a king,
It was more of a nationalist leftist government, not a communist one.
Well, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll stay
corrected. Mossadegh in 53 it happened, yeah. And but I mean it allied itself with the Soviet Union, and we couldn't stand that at that time.
So, but I think, okay,
and the Middle East is still a mess, but it's always going to be a mess. There is no real answer there. I mean, you can make all the treaties you want. I just don't see it, you know, resolving anything. That place has been a hot box since World War One, and it's going to continue to be a hot box.
Right. Well,
I mean,
I
don't see any advantage in making a treaty with those idiots.
Well, I appreciate where you're coming from, but I'll also interject. I was in split Yugoslavia. This is when Tito was still in charge, and I saw firsthand the tensions between the Serbs and the Bosnians. Of course, as you well know, during the Clinton years, the Serbs went in and invaded and basically tried to exterminate the Bosnians. And that turmoil had been going on for hundreds of years. Well, now things have settled down. You know, basically they're getting past it, and they've become more stabilized. I'm not as fatalistic as you are, saying that the Middle East will never become stable. I'm saying through dialogue and lines of communications.
Another point is we've had
for a long time,
the U.S. and the Soviets were engaged in fighting each other and using those folks in the Middle East as proxies. Now we've got different players involved, but there's always somebody trying to stir up the pot. You know, it isn't impossible to achieve peace in the Middle East. It can happen, and we've got to take every opportunity for dialogue and good, honest communication that you can. That's my belief. So we'll see what happens. We don't know. We can't just say, oh, we can't trust those idiots. They're worthless. I don't believe that at all. You know, people are people, and yes, they have certain tendencies over time and all that sort of thing, but regardless, there's always a bright spot. There isn't no nation is always dark or bad or horrible or this and that and the other thing. Nations evolve over time, just like everything does. And someday Iran might be one of the greatest nations on earth. We don't know. We can't say that.
Well, and remember, there's been the Green Revolution that keeps coming up and coming up and coming up. It pops back up over and over again. Though it's trying to pour.
Right.
A different democracy into Iran, you know, Iran.
There's a whole generation out there that was not around when the Revolutionary Guards made their big surges back in 77 or whatever it was. Like I said, you have a whole generation coming of age that says, you know what, let's move on.
We don't like it. Yeah.
Let's get democracy. Let's get rid of this.
Wow. The populace is really in favor of relations with the United States and westernizing. It's the old-fashioned mullahs that still hold a lot of power over there that want to delay progress and don't want to have anything to do with us. So this new liberalized government, however briefly it's in power, let's capitalize on that and let's not turn it away. And let's say another thing here too. We have sanctioned that country and sanctioned them, and it's hurt them, but it hasn't deterred them yet. So, you know, let's just like Cuba. We had Cuba cut off for years and years and years, and what good did it do? It did nothing. So, you know, let's open the dialogue. Let's try. It's better to influence people when you can talk to them rather than when you're shouting across an ocean at them. You know, that's my belief. So, whatever, you know.
It's going to bring up common projects too, and when that begins to happen, then things begin to change. They have
very
to.
Very true. Good point.
And
their biggest project is they want to reestablish the caliphate, and a lot of young people are over there. A lot of young people come from all over the world to reestablish the caliphate through ISIS, and you know that threat there. Is big. I think there's a lot of support through it throughout the Muslim world.
I don't have to agree with that. I think that is media garbage. I really do.
I do too.
Now when you go on to social networks and you see how many young Iranians and people throughout in the Saudi Republic too, who are looking for westernization. who want to be more a part of a global community, that do not like the isolationism of, as you say, the mullahs and the kings and the sheikhs. And there is a larger community there. It's just not very profitable. It's not very profitable because peace is not profitable.
Right. Also, too, Ed, the surgeons or the those wanting to grasp onto the ISIS caliphate aspect, you're dealing with populations over there, especially with the age demographic of late 20s to early 40s, with an unemployment rate of 30% plus.
Good point.
I think
that they're more engaged into establishing that than they are trying to become westernized. And I think that's the direction they're going to go to try to reinstate the Ottoman Empire, only through another name.
Well, that'll be a futile move.
but it's going to. That's what they're working for. That's why I said dealing with them. Well, hey, you guys believe in it. I don't believe in it. I think it's just going to be moving farther down that direction. Anyway, nice talking to you.
Only time will tell, and thanks for your call, Ed. We appreciate your input. And, only time will tell, and we'll keep our eyes open and ears.
You know, the only thing I'm wondering there, Jack, is what is the solution? These people still want to stay isolated and barricaded in war, and what's the solution there? And at the same time... we're spending all this money on wars. We can't even strategically make winners.
Yeah,
it's
all profit driven, Gwendolyn. We know it. It's all profit driven for war enthusiasts, you know, and contractors and stuff like that. And you know, once let's hope this could happen. It may not. I might be pipe dreaming here. I don't think I am, though. But I think eventually enough people in the Middle East will get fed up with their horrible, horrible living conditions and the fact that they're denied all kinds of rights. I think eventually mankind's need for future, I mean for future, for freedom will overrule, and I think that they will throw off these despots, and not universally, but it'll be a long, gradual process. But I really do believe that eventually the good people of the world over there that are freedom loving and really want to partake in the world rather than shun it or run from it or try and make it into something that it isn't, I think they're going to prevail, and I hope they do, and I hope we see it in our lifetime. It'll be a wonderful day, and it'll revolutionize the entire region, and that'll be most welcome. But that's just my opinion and my hope.
I was going to say, and the thing is, I want to point out, you can't paint all the Middle East with that broad brush. That's a general statement. Henceforth, logical argumentation says you negated your argument. Plus, too, I want to just make one little quote here. John Stuart Mill, who noted that all truth passes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Then it is violently opposed. And third, it is being accepted as self-evident.
Yep,
and
I think
you know, in due time, when it's all said and done, we're going to look back retrospectively and say, well, it was very self-evident that there's going to be some taming and calming down in the Middle East eventually.
Right. You know, we have a tendency in this country, especially because we are so we're a melting pot, to a certain extent, but basically we're very ethnocentric, and most of the country is very ignorant about the rest of the world. That is just a shocking fact. And it's really disgusting. Now, the three of us and certain amount of our listeners really pay attention to what's going on in the world and the pros and the cons of the issues of the day. But most people don't give a damn. They're too busy playing with their boats or their guns or their whatever their pastime is, entertainment, their movie stars, their Taylor Swift nonsense, you know, Kim Kardashian. That's all they care about, and that's all they follow. And so they're easily led astray by the loudest voice on TV, which is Bill O'Reilly on Fox News. So they'll believe all his bullshit and think it's truth when we know it's bullshit. And so our biggest job is we've stated many times on this program and in our blogs and everything else, is to help educate the public, because a lot of them, not that we're the big elitists and we're the know-it-alls, we are not. But we do pay attention, and we do know more than the average guy on the street that just doesn't give a damn. And that's our job, our responsibility, to keep
the
ball going.
We do a lot
going.
Of research and looking into it, yes.
Very true, yeah. Empirical, yeah. Critical judgment.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, but you know, guys, we open the show up with the statement that people are getting sick and damn tired. Intelligent people are getting sick and damn tired of explaining these things to people. But, you know, you get a guy like, I was talking about that AG, Ken Cuccinelli. Is that his name?
Cuccinelli?
Cuccinelli.
Yeah.
He's the one who came on and says that Black Lives Matter insults white people. Well, no, it doesn't. It insults him. And he's just showing his colors.
He's showing his ignorance is what he's showing. He's a jerk.
He refuses to give forth with the reason that Black Lives Matter is the hashtag and the right one, because it just doesn't fit in his agenda.
Yeah.
Speaking of agenda.
And he's probably a pro. I think he's a real strong Bible thumper too. And it's wonderful to be Christian if you're really, really embracing true Christianity. And his methodology is not what I'd call embracing Christianity. It's the exact opposite.
Hey, Jack, it's funny you mentioned that. I just saw a little thing where Fox News has come out saying that the current Pope Francis is the most dangerous man in the world. Why? Because he's teaching kindness to others, helping others, you know. Quit empowering the 1%, that's the sacrifice of the 98%.
Yeah.
You know, these are the messages that Christ gave, okay?
Yeah.
So in other words, if Christ was back here today, Fox News would call him the most. This is why they crucified Christ, because he was a threat to the status quo of the current conservatives in his time frame.
Fox News are a bunch of blatant Pharisees. They're full of crap. They're so full of crap.
Okay.
Well, go ahead, Glenn.
Oh, I had to get my dog.
We fly on a shoestring here.
The Pope, this is kitchen sink production level. Actually thinks that the number one problem that the planet faces right now is climate change.
Right.
He's made that very clear.
And income inequality he puts up there, too. He's a very bright on top of it guy. And he speaks the truth, and he knows what he's talking about. The guy was a scientist before he entered the priesthood. When are these guys going to get smart and realize this?
I'm thinking he was a chemist.
Yeah, that's right.
So in other words, you're talking, and when you have those that are denying climate change, you're talking to a scientist who could step into a climatologist role.
Right.
Much like those in a physics degree.
Mm-hmm.
Physics, by its own definition, is the science of nature. So,
and that doesn't make him wrong or dangerous or any of those other adjectives that they use. They are absolute. You know who's wrong and dangerous? Fox News, because all they spew is nonsense, lies, and distortions. They are the worst. They're as bad as Joseph Goebbels' propaganda machine in Germany in the 1930s and 40s. Those guys constantly lie. They stretch everything into a big lie, so it suits their narrow purpose.
Didn't you know Goebbels was in the closet for Goebbels?
Very clever, Glenn. Good one. Very good one. See, folks, this is why this show's worth listening to, just for statements like that.
you catch my drift, though, I think, and it's very accurate.
Yeah. Yeah. There was something I saw from another physicist talking about climate change, and he says, look, I can help you by explaining to you why and how it's all happening, why it's man-made and how it's all happening. I cannot help you understand or even want to try to understand what I'm trying to explain to you. In other words, if you've got preconceived beliefs and they just want to sit there and argue with me when I'm showing you and teaching you the facts of how and why this is all the facts and the science leads to this conclusion, I got no cure for that.
Yeah, and, you know, let's keep in mind, sometimes it takes centuries or, you know, decades or centuries for people to really grasp the truth. And let's look back in the old days, you know, the medieval times, when the scientific community and everybody else was convinced that the sun revolved around the earth, and that anybody that said otherwise should be condemned and killed or made to retract their statement. Look what they did to Galileo. I mean, they had that guy living in fear about he had to retract his observation.
Galileo.
Yes, it's Galileo. Galileo. In other words, perfect example. And it was only because he was a tutor and a teacher to the Medici family that had all the wealth and power in Florence. They were able to save him from actually being killed by the Pope in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And to elaborate on that, there was another astronomer. Who also happened to be a priest, and he said, "You know what? Copernicus is right. Earth is not center." So, and the church, in their compassion, because he was a priest, and they tied him to the stake and lit the bonfire to have him burned to death. They did tie a bag of gunpowder around his neck so it would blow his head off before he was totally consumed by the fire. That was their compassionate aspect towards him.
Yeah, boy.
Per se. Copernicus science is correct.
Right.
You know, we're just lucky that they aren't tying climatologists.
But, you know, it took the human race a long time to discover, finally, it finally dawned on them that these men were speaking truth, and they weren't heretics, and they weren't dangerous, and they weren't, all they were doing is threatening the current status quo of what was profitable and what was believable to ignorant people. And you know what?
Yeah.
We have that parallel today.
I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you a childhood story of mine. I remember, you know, they'd wheel in the TV into the classroom, elementary school classroom, when John Glenn, they fired off the rocket, he circled the earth, and then the next day they showed it landing and the aircraft carrier was out and picked up the
in the ocean,
captain.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. And a bunch of myself and a couple other classmates, and one of the classmates' father, who was a fundamentalist Christian, and we were all talking about, and the one child, the son of the father, said, yeah, he went around the earth, man. That was pretty cool. The father slapped him alongside the head, knocked him down, bellowed over him, says, "That is blasphemy. The Bible says that the world is flat. I don't ever hear you say the world is round."
Boy, here's the
other, myself and my other classmate, I think we were like third grade, maybe fourth grade. Total jaw-dropping shock, like, what in the hell is this?
Yeah.
I saw that first, and that would have been in 1964, fall of 63 or the winter of 64.
Right, yeah.
It must have been 63, so anyway.
So ignorance is always with us in one decade, one century, one area after another.
Did you gentlemen hear about the Earth-like planet that was found by the Kepler?
It's bigger than the Earth, but similar sized, and it's about as equidistant from its star as the Earth is from the Sun. And they say it's very similar in many aspects.
Right. Now, how many light years away from us is that right now?
Oh, it's
100. It's 1,1400 and something, and it's in the Milky Way galaxy, which is really pretty close when you think about it.
Yeah, right. All things considered, yeah.
I mean, who knows what's
we won't
there.
Be going there for vacation, in the near future, but but it's still relatively close, which gives you an idea how extremely huge the universe is and our galaxy.
That part is just mind blowing.
I love the discovery of a bunch of new moons around Pluto by New Horizons. Was that those pictures are just gorgeous too.
Welcome back, planet Pluto. Even though that's
I know that's what I say too.
Yeah, it's not official, but it's got to be considered.
I would say so. It's got its own moons.
And it is stationary retrograde right now with six other planets. First time in 400 years that we've had this kind of a
lineup.
Kind of an astrological configuration of the motion, the illusionary motion backwards. It's
incredible. And then there are bodies beyond Pluto that we've just begun to discover. One of them was called Xena or something, and another one was, I forget what they're called now, but they're out there in the Kuiper Belt, you know, and we're learning things about it all the time with these deep probes and that. And, you know, some people say it's a waste of time to go to Pluto and all this stuff.
No.
Every time we've made an interplanetary journey regardless of whether it's humans on board or not, most of them haven't been, but we've always benefited in one way or another, whether it's scientific. Well, yeah, all of it scientific.
Say, Jack, let me take the capitalistic view here. The cutting edge stuff that mm-hmm. has been developed and used and tried for all this planetary and space exploration
mm-hmm.
has always found its way into product lines and technology
yes.
advances right here for the consumer and our betterment of our own lives. We're talking
about revolutionized television and sound recording. I know that for a fact.
Sound recording, communication, everything.
Everything.
There's been a whole
and
spectrum
medicine.
Of benefits.
Medicine.
Medicine, that's what I'm saying, definitely medicine too.
Yeah, it's a benefit. It's expensive, but what is it? I mean, it's worthwhile. It pushes our boundaries ever forward. Our understanding ever forward, and we need to do that as a race, you know?
Hey, every plumber out there knows that you're going to put on a threaded fitting for a watertight seal, you use Teflon tape.
Mm-hmm.
Teflon tape was invented back in the Mercury days.
Right.
To make sure that their fittings and their seals were good, so there wouldn't be any leakage, especially
right.
when you're dealing with liquid hydrogen.
Right.
And liquid oxygen.
Right.
And again, something as simple as the hardware store Teflon tape came
right.
out of the advances in the space industry.
And now we take it for granted.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's in the hardware store. Walmart.
It's revolutionized. It's revolutionized products in this country, in the world, really. And, you know, it's been beneficial. So the net thing is it's a benefit that we partake in these things, and I encourage us to do more and more and more.
Mm-hmm. So.
Rather than dumping it into more arms and more guns and more bombs and more drones and all this militaristic crap.
Let's make life better for the human race, period.
Yes, very true.
Healing, not maiming. But speaking of gun control, we've had another shooting in Louisiana.
God almighty.
Sad, so sad. And, of course, Donald Trump and many of the Republican presidents said, well, if everybody in that movie theater had guns, then there wouldn't have been so many people killed.
Yeah, and if everybody
yeah.
had their own atomic bomb, we've been through this crap before, too.
Yeah,
it's
we'll
insane.
Right there.
That is such a stupid
bomb.
Argument.
Now the Westboro Baptist Church members are making a sojourn down to Louisiana to protest the funeral. Thank God for dead soldiers kind of thing. I don't understand this group. I really
is this
no,
group
I don't
that
either.
God is punishing us because we're accepting gay marriages and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Is it, you know, like that one out in, what was it, Kansas or somebody?
With slain civilians in a movie theater and a community tragedy? I don't understand.
Getting blown away by a madman. Yeah, I know. It's
insane.
It's just insane.
Your horror movies and demons and such, these people sort of exemplify that kind of behavior, if you ask
they
me.
They
kind of
do. Good
They're
point.
They're evil. They're evil. And
yeah.
I don't take
yeah.
it. I mean,
well, right. Again, we're back to the ignorant dullards. Simple answers for simple minds.
Ignorant dullards. Very good point. Very
right.
good terminology. That explains them perfectly. It's just
Did
unreal.
Has anybody been listening to the sound bites of Bernie Sanders this week?
Oh, elaborate us for the listeners that maybe not have not. So go ahead.
Well, he's been very bombastic. He's not. He doesn't. I smart man. He does not
mm-hmm.
trust the media, so he doesn't allow him to feed him stuff.
Right.
Right. I listened to him with Chuck Todd, who was almost on the scene.
Wow.
Chuck
Come
Todd
back.
Is full
Tell
of gas,
really
I'll tell
feel.
You that right now. Chuck Todd is nonsense. He's full of gas.
Yeah. But go ahead, Gwen.
No, I mean, he's very bombastic, but he's surged ahead in the polls, you know.
Right.
He's not ahead of Hillary.
Hillary
has been losing support. Yet I will say this for Mrs. Clinton. She has addressed the Black Lives Matter issue.
Yeah, and she did a good job.
Yeah, she's done a good job with that. She's facing though a very big wave of lefty leftists who are standing behind or standing beside Sanders and saying this is the real message, and you don't fit the bill because you're a corporatist and an oligarch.
Yeah. Well, people have just got to, the left has got to quit fighting itself and quit categorizing itself into little narrow categories and beating each other up. Every time they do that, every single time they do that, they aid the right, and we do not want to aid the right in any capacity. So they've got to be very careful about the attacks they make and the allies they choose.
Jack, Will Rogers' famous quote is, "I don't belong to any organized political party.
I'm a Democrat." I remember that. I remember that, yeah. And it's true then, and it's true today.
But the thing is that the message that the Democrats give out, or what Mrs. Clinton's campaign will adhere to, is the same old, same old, and an economy, you know, that is...
dominated by Wall Street.
And dominated by the rich get richer and the poor get poor and the middle class get poor.
Right.
And people are hip to it. And the
that's why a guy like Bernie Sanders arises and preaches truth that people believe in. That's why populism occurs, because it's been clamped down upon for so long and ignored for so long. And it's going to have its influence, I guarantee you that. Whether he ends up with the nomination, I don't think he will, but I hope he does.
As long as there's
a populist leftist wave that occurs because of this, I'm all for it.
Right. Like I said, I work
and
to with...
To his credit, he's not attacking anybody, and that's a good thing, too. You can't have Democrats fighting Democrats. You can't have leftists fighting leftists. They've got to agree. They've got to agree to disagree if they want, but they can't outright attack people and feed the right ammunition. We can't have that happening.
Right. That's a very good point, because whatever Republican candidate is throwing sling and attacking whatever his other primary competition is,
mm-hmm.
when it does get to the general election, you get it narrowed down to the Democrat and the Republican, and maybe Trump as a third party, the exact same arguments that his own Republican Party has used to attack him while he was going through the process, the Democrats will keep pounding on that, too. Said, you know, nothing's changed. He's still the asshole that this one over here said he was in his own party.
Yeah, right.
So people are listening.
People are listening to what he's saying.
Yes, exactly.
He's drawing huge crowds. He's continuing to draw huge crowds, and people are going to his website, and they're seeing the great platform he's put together, and it is remarkable. I featured it very early on. I haven't been back yet, but I'm going to very soon, and I'm going to keep featuring it in my blog, because it is all relevant, it's all important, and it's all right on the money.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
he is spot on with this analysis and cures.
The point is that he's never going to agree with Hillary. He's always going to say her platform is all skewed for the corporatists.
But he won't attack her physically, mentally, or politically. He won't attack her. He will just point out his position and why it's better, and that's the logical and the decent and the humane way to do things. And I wish all politicians would follow that example. It would make for a lot less fracturing.
I've heard him say that Hillary is wrong on the economics. Structure.
That's fine, but he's not ripping her to shreds over it, is he?
I was going to say, it's one thing to say that you're wrong. It's another thing to just go with a shredder.
Yeah, exactly.
He is pointing out that she's a corporatist and he is not.
Right.
He's not attacking her. He's just saying this is the truth.
He's telling the truth, and people respect that, and they appreciate that. And, you know, he gets a hell of a lot of Republican votes in that strongly Democratic state of Vermont. And the reason he does is that, and he trounces the Democrats that run against him, and the reason is that he gets Republican votes, quote-unquote, because I can trust him. He speaks
the
truth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's remarkable.
Up in Vermont, you're still dealing with more moderate Republicans than you are the reactionary, you know, wing nuts.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, you speak, you're speaking sense and logical facts, I'm with you.
Yeah, and they can trust him. They don't think he's going to be a he's going to go off and not do things that he says. And so far, he's honored all his campaign pledges and his entire political career. So I don't have anything. I don't have any beef against Bernie Sanders at this point. I just hope he can get the nomination and get elected. I'd love it.
Same here. Well, what do you think about Glenn? What do you think about Trump potentially running as a third party candidate because
great.
The Republican Party is different?
That'll guarantee the Republican split and a Republican defeat. And we can't have Scott Walker winning the presidency. Good God Almighty! What a disaster that would be.
Did anybody listen to what Ted Cruz did in the Senate this week?
Matter of fact, he was called out on it. That's my memory.
He drew the ire of his colleagues for claiming that the top Republicans and the top Republican Mitch McConnell. Boy, we're having name trouble.
Yeah, we're all doing good today.
Turtle Man McConnell. Yeah.
At Senate lied to him. He accused the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of going back on a promise he claims McConnell made to him about the tensions for export in respect.
That's why the Republicans don't have much time for Ted Cruz.
Yeah, he basically crawled all up his butt and said, you know, hey, you're a liar. And he did it right in front of everybody at a luncheon, after he did it. And
that shows you why he's unfit for the presidency. He can't negotiate. All he can do is push around. He's a pushy bastard. He really is.
Lying,
he's destructive. He wants to close down the government. The guy is not. He's not good for America. Texas ought to kick his ass out.
Well, that's talking about in that line of thought. Baby Bully Bush is saying he wants to end Medicare, all the
he's nuts
social
too.
Safety nets and stuff.
Yep.
And it's like. You know, and he's really serious about it. You know, Social Security, Medicare.
And he thinks it's fine
kids.
For Americans to work longer hours. They'll make more money that way. This guy is
nuts. Right. Look, there's plenty of people out there working two jobs. And I'm talking
sometimes
about
three.
Both husband and wife, a married couple working two jobs just
to
keep their family fed, sheltered, and the necessities of life.
Well,
and he's saying,
trust
you need
funders
to work
like
more
Bush
hours.
Keep padding their portfolio with more and more money raking in. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's unfair and disgusting.
I've said before, we had a surplus in 2000 when Goofy Bush got in.
Mm-hmm.
First thing he did was, well, I'm just going to take all this money that's just collecting dust here. I'm going to hand it out to tax cuts.
Right.
And that's
the billionaires.
Going to stimulate productivity because it's going to be trickling down. No, when they gave him that money out of our paid into Social Security, our safety net, it ended up in the Cayman Islands and Dubai.
Yes.
And the working middle class is now saying, Social Security and Medicare, all this is going to be bankrupt here by 2030.
Yep.
Well, you know
and
what?
Meanwhile, our bridges are falling down, our roads are collapsing.
If you handed it to your buddies, we would have been all right.
Our roads are going to hell. Our railways are getting ancient every day, more ancient. They're just inefficient. Yeah, our roads are getting pockmarked and
bridges
terrible.
Bridges
are collapsing. Another one. Collapse in California a little while ago. I mean, what's going on with these goddamn rich Republicans? Can't they see you can't just keep all your money to yourself all the time and that you've got to be taxed and pay for these improvements that we need?
Jack, it's all just back to the same mindset of let them eat cake.
It's not only that, but they're going after women's health care again. They're going after women's rights.
Oh, I know. It's insane.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The snatch and grab videos that are smear campaigns against Planned Parenthood are ridiculous.
That
happened in Ohio here.
This week, Cecile Richards.
Yeah.
She went on the defensive about it and basically brought to focus the trickery of the videos and what the guys
in the Congress, the Republicans in the Congress are trying to do.
Yeah. Well, they always need a boogeyman, and Planned Parenthood is the current one.
Yeah. Well, it's playing to the religious
religious
conservative.
Right. And the
religious
people don't understand.
Like I said,
the people that think the earth is flat.
Yeah, one of those tapes came out here in Ohio because they're trying to basically, you know, make abortions illegal. And and of course, they all see, here's the proof. Here's what they said. And of course, it was one of those chipped, edited, leading in comments kind of a thing, and then editing out for what they wanted to say. And when it really got investigated into, those that were making the films had just were lying their butt off.
Oh, it always they always,
you know,
lie.
It was all bull crap.
Yeah,
but
it's
you know,
typical.
But that's what they were you know, showing it on the news and TV and stuff. But once
typical.
It really got looked into, it was.
But unfortunately, there are a lot of ignorant people out there that will accept that word as the gospel truth, and that's what we're battling. And we can't tire. We've got to be relentless in our struggle to bring the truth to the public.
I'm sure I said it last week and probably the week before. Friedrich Nietzsche, quote of, convictions are greater foes to truth than lies.
Yeah, very true.
Those people have convictions, and they're willing to do anything to be the biggest threat to truth.
Yeah.
Than if they just told an out-and-out lie.
Yeah, very good, very good quote there, Wayne. Very good job.
Thank you.
Yep.
Over in Israel, what's going on there, it's not just them trying to mow down another small Palestinian encampment, but are you aware of how Israel uses water and water rights to control Palestinians?
Oh, that's terrible.
Right,
you mean just like they do in Los Angeles and California?
Right.
Yeah, and Detroit. And Detroit.
And Detroit, yeah, that's right. There you go.
The commodification of water is old as the hills, but it should be a basic human right.
Exactly.
Well, it's the basic theme to Mad Max.
Well, what brought the huge shift in political power toward the left in the election of Eva Morales in Bolivia? The fact that they were the corporations were trying to own all the water and the gas the influence of the petroleum companies brought that government to power. I mean, indirectly, people reacted to it negatively and brought that government to power, and that's what caused the nationalization of all those items, and has kicked the forces of reaction out. So good for those people. Good for the Bolivians.
Right. You know, you can only push people so far, and you know, even potentially in this country, with fracking and destroying my water, my value of my home because my well is now so polluted I can't even drink the water out of my faucet.
Yep.
You can only push a man so far. You know, you're poisoning his kids, you're making them sick before they say, screw this, we're going to nationalize it and get you asses under control.
Yeah, and speaking of fracking, there's been an astronomical rise. It's just a huge rise in the number of earthquake tremors in the state of Oklahoma.
Oh.
It's
just
unreal.
And the oil industry admits it's them doing it.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
The executive, right. He says, yeah, it's probably from us fracking. Okay, duh, there you go.
Duh, there you go. Right, exactly. No, man, it's just nuts. We just been on a tear of insanity lately. It's all greed-driven and ignorant.
I'll tell you something that's really insane is General Wesley Clark, who is a Democrat known for his progressive-oriented presidential campaign in 2004, watched NBC in the aftermath of the shooting in Chattanooga, and he suggested and has been ever since, he spoke favorably about getting internment camps put up.
Yeah,
just
that's
like
insane.
For Muslims and for
people.
You mean? Like we did with the Japanese during World War II, because we can really hold that up as much pride.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
You know,
let's talk gun control for just a minute. You know, there's been such a furious debate over Second Amendment rights and all this nonsense. and the paranoia that the government's going to take over, and it's insane. You know, we know it's insane, but you know, let's everybody ought to have their own gun. All right, here's what I say: let them have all the guns they want. You know what we ought to do? We ought to put a huge, I mean, an astronomically high excise tax on every single bullet for every gun sold, and make it too expensive for people to buy.
You want to deter something just like cigarettes, because
right.
of all the health expenses and stuff caused by a product
yeah.
that basically, you know, they know gives
raise
you
the price.
If used properly will give you cancer. Tax
yep.
the hell out of it.
Tax the hell out
because
of it.
Because guns, even if you weren't killed by the gun, you have the medical expenses.
You bet you do.
You have the ambulance to get there, the parametrics to
you
try to
you. You got the police that you've
you.
Got to beef up because you're
and the
here,
police
you know,
have got to face
yep.
it and stuff. Hey.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's okay. You can sell this commodity, but
tax the
you
hell
have to
them.
Kick in money to be able to offset the incurred costs inflicted by
good
the
point,
cost.
Good point. Yeah, so
how's
the hell with
the
guns. Let's
thinking.
Just tax them out of existence. Or tax make it so incredibly unprofitable that most people that would be tempted to just grab one and use it will think twice.
And the thing is when I get back to it, the NRA is the marketing branch for the gun industry, all the gun
You bet they are. The Wayne LaPierre is their biggest salesman.
As soon as Obama was elected,
yep.
as soon as he was elected, the verbiage went out, you better hurry up and get your gun now because Obama's going to make it illegal and he's going to outlaw bullets.
Oh, I know. I remember that.
Walmart could not keep bullets on the shelf.
Yeah,
guns were flying off the shelf and the people's hands who had no business because it was that whammo kind of marketing of, well, you know, you better hurry now. And if you act now, it's not one, but, you know, two of them for the price of this one, you know.
Meanwhile, murders have risen. I mean, it's just every few weeks it seems like we're hearing of a new mass murder, and it is so disgusting. We've discussed this before, and I just don't know when people are going to learn, for God's sakes. You know?
I read a little piece. It was actually on Facebook. Somebody had posted on there, and I thought, how epic. He said, the debate on gun control when we tolerated the death of 21 kindergarten kids
yeah.
in the class with their teachers
Sandy
and
Hook,
we did
yep.
nothing about it, then the gun debate is obviously over.
Yeah.
Because if you weren't going to have compassion and take a look at what the hell is really the cost and the outcome and the
yep.
of it all, then
yeah.
obviously there's no argument left.
Well, that's when Wayne Pierre raised the argument that, the problem is these guns, there ought to be more guns in the schools. You know,
right.
it comes back to the same old bullshit. Give everybody their own nuclear weapon, and then we won't have nuclear holocaust. It's equally insane as saying everybody should have a gun. That is such
exactly.
nonsense and such failed logic. It is it's an insult to your intelligence. It really is.
Mm. But again, it played to the ignorant dollars.
You bet it did. And it made them go out and buy guns in droves. And, you know,
exactly.
the last time I checked, Obama doesn't have squads out there rounding up guns. You know, this is a bunch of nonsense. It's just not going to happen. I don't know where these guys get this paranoia from.
I had a coworker, and, of course, he reads all the, you know, well-informed people like The Guardian and The Trust Report, right? Because, you know, he's well-informed because he reads this crap.
Good.
He went out and bought a gun. Of course, he paid a premium of $1 for it. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You know, I forget, you know, like $400 or $500.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a piece of crap, he can't hit the target because he has no clue where that barrel is going to go, that bullet is going to go once it leaves the barrel.
Wow.
So, in other words, he paid premium price for a piece of substandard quality, but he bought it before Obama was going to get his gun away.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Like
you know, said, and
he's
say he reads The Guardian. Wow, I'm amazed.
He's a more dangerous threat to himself and his family than any burglar coming in through his door.
Yeah. Because
he'll never hit
wait.
The burglar, right? He'll
yeah.
probably hit one of his kids or his wife.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's insane. Yeah. It's insane.
And there's those people that think, you know, it isn't guns that kill, but people with guns. I'm like, you know. Well, it's like you say, yeah, and if everybody had a nuclear weapon, they'd be safe and it'd be mutual deterrence.
Yeah.
Every,
yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a lost
I was going to say, Glenn, I also love the argument. Well, you know what? Automobiles kill. You know, if I got in a car and I ran somebody over the sidewalk, you know, shouldn't you take my car away? Car has a purpose. It's to get you from
right.
point A to point B.
And you've got to be licensed
to, your shopping
to drive it.
The gun has one purpose.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
And that's
to kill.
And that's
right. And guns and cars are—that's not a good analogy because not only are they used differently, but the methodology of owning one and procuring one is completely different.
Jack, this is what in your logical argumentation, English 101, freshman English, referred to as a straw man argument.
Right. Very good point. Yep.
You know, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
like
very
saying,
good point.
You get caught throwing a rock and busting out the window, and your justification is well, Johnny over here was doing it too. That doesn't negate that you got arrested for busting a window.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, that's no justification because Johnny was doing it. You know, it is the most infantile, immature argument in logical argumentation when you look at it through logical argumentation.
Right. Critical judgment.
Critical thinking.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That is the most infantile argument ever presented.
Yeah, it is insane. Yep. No doubt.
Of course, it's our go-to move.
Gentlemen, we are at the end of the hour. I really would love it if you would give your blog names and stuff.
Go ahead, Jack. You start.
Yeah. Okay. I'm at the Saturday Afternoon Post. It's all capital letters. You can Google that and find me. And it's my current blog, which is going to end tomorrow. Tomorrow it's going to return with another podcast from our friend Bird Deming, who's been out for a few weeks. And he does the most thoughtful, incredible writing. And I share my blog with him now and then. Usually every Monday I put him in. And then by Wednesday or Thursday I put in my own article. But at any rate, he's going to return tomorrow with a brand new podcast. We're looking forward to that. But I currently have one that examines Donald Trump, and boy, is that guy an idiot. But that's just my opinion. But you can see it and see why I believe that if you go there today.
It's like Keystone Cops. It's like a little Keystone Cops clip. That's
yeah. Unbelievable. That's
right,
Saturday Afternoon Post. Go ahead, Wayne.
There you go. Mine is Mind and Times of F. Wayne Johnson. And there are my postings a lot are dealing with my involvement with the Republican Party, the moderate Republican Party, not what it has eventually and been taken over to by the day. And matter of fact, there's a posting in there said, "I told you so, Jack Kemp," where I warned them about embracing the reactionary right because it's just full of Klansmen, John Birch Society, fundamentalist fanatic, religious fanatics and stuff. And it's not healthy for the country at all. And I warned them back in 2005 of doing that. Well, now everything's come to fruition. It's here. So it's titled "I Told You So, Jack Kemp." It's worth reading here in this election year.
It sure is, and we appreciate your perspective on that, Wayne. Go ahead, Gwen.
Thank you. I want to thank all of the listeners and all of the commentary in the chat today. I enjoyed going back and forth with you, even the people I didn't agree with. You're always welcome to come and share.
And I also want to thank Ed for calling in.
Yes, very much so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ed.
Yep.
Anyway, I would like to remind people we are supported and sponsored in this show by Roundtree 7. That's the number 7.com. And we will be back next Sunday at 6 p.m. with another hour of the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio. Thank you, gentlemen, for being with me today.
Thank you, Glenn.
Until then, keep pushing forward, everybody. Keep pushing forward. It's the only way to go. And thank you, Gwen. Thank you, Wayne. It was a wonderful hour. And we'll look forward to next week. Bye-bye now.
Right back at you, Jack. Bye-bye.
Yep, thank you. Bye-bye.
That's our show for this Sunday. Thank you.